Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're looking at prices, not just any prices, but food prices in particular. More importantly, how inflation and real prices are going to be affected, particularly for people like you and me. In fact, very recently, I have just spent the same amount of basket of goods on my favorite supermarket, and it has increased from 500 ringgit to 600 ringgit, considering that the same basket of food that I bought was only costing me 300 ringgit just about 2 years ago. So there's a lot of real differential prices when it comes to food and the things that we buy every day at the supermarket. Here to explore this even further is none other than a good friend of the show, Datuk Wira Dr. Amir Ali Maidin. He's the co-chair of Pemuda, or the Pasukan Petugas Khas Pemuda Cara Perniagaan, or Special Task Force to Facilitate Business. He's also the president of BRO, or the Bumi Putra Retailers Organisation. Datuk Amir, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. It's been quite a while for us to try and explore this, especially for a person like you and the organisation that you lead, which is Maidin. We know that Malaysia's inflation rate has moderated to the lowest level this year. It does give a reprieve in terms of central bank policymakers to actually moderate the interest rate hikes. We've seen only one-time hike only this year. CPI rose 2.8% earlier in May. This is lower than the median estimate of 3% in a few surveys, including Bloomberg survey. But the core issue right now is on whether or not consumers are actually reflecting in terms of these economic data. We all know that while, you know, the official data says inflation has gone down, or inflation rate has moderated, quite frankly, especially somebody like me, food prices is still going up, and I have to now be very picky in terms of what I put in my shopping cart. Could you give us the lay of land in terms of where the situation is when it comes to prices, especially food prices?
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I think basically first you must understand food prices. Food prices when you eat out, or food prices when you go to a supermarket or the convenience store that you buy things. Mm. Right. Undoubtedly, food prices in restaurants have increased tremendously. Right? And they have their own reason for doing that. Mm-hmm. They say input cost is high, electricity tariffs have gone up, labor has gone up, rental is now back and going up because COVID-19 is over, nobody increased the rental. So these are many issues behind it. But I think the question is that, is my grocery shopping prices going up? Right. You know, people have a lot of perception. Perception rules the world, unfortunately. People keep saying prices are going up, and that's exactly what you said. Are prices really going up? Let's look at that. So maybe then we have to go to data. So in Maidin, and I'm sure our statistics department monitor data, we monitor key things that people buy. 500 items. We take 500 items, which is generally 70% of a basket. Then you buy different types of diapers, some you buy something else, but our customers are, you know, B40, M40, we know what they buy. So we take about 80% of that basket, we know what people buy. Mm. Surprisingly, shockingly, data shows, let me go back, from October 2022, all right, to December 2022, we take the 3 months there, prices went up by 1.2%. Mm-hmm. Only 1.2%. Then from October to February 23, prices went up by 0.49%. Mm. Right?
That means January, February must have gone down a bit.
But now, prices are going up. March to July, prices have gone down by 1.46%. Mm. Shocking. Come on. I don't feel it. You know, you don't feel it seriously sometimes because people don't really look at prices. You hear a lot in social media. That's the thing. Are you aware, for example, now, chicken has been price controlled at $9.40. In your mind, everybody says $9.40. You go there, you pick up a chicken, you go home. Chicken prices have gone down the last 3 days to $8.29 per kilo, from $9.40 to $8.29. And tomorrow, we'll be selling at $7.99. Massive drop. But why?
That's the thing. My data is called the receipt, shopping receipt. And my data has shown that it has increased by 20%, from 500 to 600. So how do we reconcile
this? It's like this. I don't know where you shop, okay? You are a Maidin shopper, go to MyDin, because my data is MyDin data, right? So we pick a basket, very transparent, the whole basket is here, everything, that 500 items are all here, which are your normal vegetable, your tomatoes, your ginger, your carrots, your long beans, your krisi, and your normal chicken, then your fish, ikan patin, ikan bawal, siakap.
You name it lah.
The main item that anybody will buy.
Yeah.
Then we go to rice, then we go to sugar, then we go to even sundries.
Mm.
500 items, right? And those are the prices. And we are monitoring it. I've got from 2022 until July 23, right? And that is, some prices have gone up massively. There's one item that gone up by 66%. Garlic. Suddenly just went up, okay? Cucumber has jumped by 40-50% suddenly. But a lot of things have gone down. Mm. So we have to look at the average.
Mm.
I mean, how people pick things up, what they pick.
Mm.
But this is the reality. And fresh item, the last 3 months, have gone down by 4.87%.
Mm.
Grocery down by 1.56%. Grocery through, which is sundries and things like that, have actually gone up by 0.4%. We average it out. You get 1.46% down.
Mm.
So actually, fresh has been the driving force the last 3 months. Okay, and you know, they say, why? I can't dispute your basket, right? I can't dispute. But this is my basket, and the figures are all there. But why are fresh items going down?
Is it because of self-sufficiency ratio? Is that it, SSR?
I think basically the demand. See, people plant tomatoes, timun, your cauliflowers, okay? On an expected demand. If demand goes down, prices drop. And seriously, we have a demand problem. Now, last time, we had a supply chain problem. We had a supply problem. Prices were going up. Supply was a mess, you know? Mess. Then we have disasters coming in, banjir lah, panas lah, this, okay? Somehow, all that has stabilized. But demand has not.
So you're saying demand is rising so increasingly right now?
Right. So now,
but with the interest rate increasing, isn't that, you know, all the economic textbook says...
Right. Correct. So now people have less money to spend.
Mm.
Your end pocket, what you have, disposal income goes down. So your demand goes down.
Theoretically, goes down, actually.
And supply is there, prices go down.
Yeah.
It's theory, but it shows you in reality what happens. So what happened, and of course we've got import inflation.
Ah, okay.
Which is the basic topic. People say harga akan naik 20% because our US dollar rate has gone up and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Then we say, really? We have to go back to the data. Right? So then we go back to data and say in July, exactly 1 year ago, what was US to ringgit? It was 4.584.
Not much difference actually, you think about it.
Right? You see? So it was July. Then in October, it went up to 4.748.
Yeah.
So there, it went up. So as it went up, all of us start increasing prices, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
It's an increase.
Yeah.
Three-month lag. So prices goes up. Then, in April, it went down to 4.63.
Mm.
In July again, this year, okay, not today's rate, but July, it went up to 4.68, 4.69.
Mm.
So we all said, oh my goodness, prices are going to go up. Because rates. But it was a short term. Now it's gone back to 4.54. We are back to almost July last year.
Mm.
So what happened is that prices were there. They started to pick up. That's why we have that 1%, 2% up.
Mm.
Right? Then it came down. It wanted to go up. And we all said, even I said, it's going to go up. It's going to go up. But then the ringgit, kukuh balik. It went down again. Okay? So now looking at this, the probability of prices going up in August, which is just next month, right? In August, the so-called magic number of 20% is not going to be there. We are looking at it because we get 30 days notice of increase in prices.
Okay.
Right? So supplies have come back. Many are not increasing because the rates have come down again.
Mm.
So we expect about 1 to 1.2% general increase in prices.
Mm.
The minimum chocolate might go up, but the coffee might go down, the cereal, depending on demand and depending on the supply.
Okay. What about input costs like fertilizer that may have some impact on chicken feed, for instance, or agriculture?
Correct. So US dollar has moderated, so fertilizer prices will moderate. Okay. demand is low. Unfortunately, demand is low. That's why chicken prices have gone down.
But what the Ukraine conflict, for instance, that has pushed up the fertilizer prices, is it going to stay
correct
up?
So now, you see, because the global economy is so, it's moving, right? So no one sitting here, seriously, can predict what's going to happen tomorrow. Seriously. I mean, this Ukraine conflict, the Russia decided to stop the Black Sea export
there. Yeah, with just, the grain transport.
Right, grain, just 2 days ago, 2 days ago. And suddenly, people start speculating what's going to happen, right? So, temporarily again, we're going to have this issue again. How bad is the issue? It's going to be like this. We went through it before. The world has gone through this before. They learned, right? And this time, it might not be as bad as last time.
But still, there's a bad luck.
Correct. You see, what happens is that...
calculative bad, but still
but
bad.
You see, people have all kind of prediction, projection, right? Yeah. I think the world learns and changes. Like we all expect good palm oil. My God, war. Boom. Up, up, up. But it stabilizes. Because, you see, Russian oil blockage, shortage of oil. Russian oil comes via India and goes back to the Middle East. You see, it moves, right? I mean, businesses are businesses, right? I'm not saying that it doesn't affect. It obviously affects business. It's not good for stability. We all want stability. But the issue is that we got to live with this. We got to live with this. And the main thing here is, to me, is that don't push the blame to the government unnecessarily. I'm not saying don't blame the government. If they are wrong, they are wrong. Right?
Okay, let's talk about subsidies then. Because sometimes I scratch my head at the kind of subsidies that is being given. Subsidies to sugar, for instance. Subsidy to cooking oil. You know, these are the conversations that we must have. Do you feel that these kind of subsidies must continue to be remaining in place, considering that the government, subsidy to petrol especially, for the longest of time, we have now had four or five different governments. They're all talking about reduction of subsidy, and yet the subsidy bill goes up every year. How do you see this topic of subsidies now? Okay.
I, for one, have always said we should get out of this subsidy mentality.
Then inflation will just go out of control.
We will have to get out of it. We've got to remove those IV lines here and there. We have to do it. We definitely have to do it because it's costing the country $70 billion. Right, I mean, 80% of our money goes for subsidies, for salaries. We hardly have 15-20% left for infrastructure development, hospitals, whatever. We are not going to be able to be a developed nation if all the money just goes for the expenses, just like that. That's this one, okay? Number two, the government has always been advocating, right? Subsidy bersasar.
Yeah.
Targeted subsidy.
Yeah.
Okay?
B40, for instance,
yes,
whatever.
Fine,
then macam-macam
fine,
mechanism.
Fine. But they seem to have not the willpower to do it. Okay? Every time they want to do something, another election comes in. Now we've got state elections coming in.
Because so they can't decouple from the topic of election result versus subsidy removal.
Right. So this is this sheer political will that subsidies need to be removed. And obviously, what we need to do and how we need to do this. Obviously, we have to look at the macro picture, okay, and balance it up. Right, so 70, 80 billion subsidy, please remove it, okay? We have the subsidies ourselves. We actually already know who are the B40s. We have the data because we're giving this MyCase, we're giving this, you know, all the government money is giving out through the LHDN system currently. So the government already knows. This is not something 3 or 5 years ago. We have to give vouchers, and the politicians go around shaking hands and giving it. Now they already know who are the people, right? So all they have to do is, instead of giving this $100, which they just announced, and grateful to the government. You know why I'm grateful to the government? Because the government announced 100 ringgit for 6 months. Mm. The grateful should be the recipient. My goodness, I'm so grateful. My business jumped 50% the day they give the money. They use the money.
Bukan joli. Because
they showed how much they need the money. So I thank the government, not for them, I thank the government for the business, saying that money. On a Wednesday, business jumped by 50%. 50% 2 days ago. Because the money was given on Monday. Straight away, people spend the money. So that goes to show that the people that the money is going to, the $2 billion, is actually needed by the people. So government knows who they are. So don't give 100 ringgit. you can give them 500 ringgit. Why not? But remove the so-called toll subsidy, the tong miak gas subsidy. We know how much is being diverted wherever it is. So we have to get rid of that. Because unfortunately, of the 70 billion, we don't even know how much is really going to the real...
So you're giving an out to the government, basically, because people are talking about... Not people, politicians are talking about there's no political will because the decoupling issue of polling results versus subsidy removal. But if you go with the big... If you go big, if the government goes big on B40 targeted subsidy, which has been done in small stages of 100 ringgit, now push it up to 500 ringgit, there is a possibility of an out for the government and that political consideration can be negated. Is that what you're trying to say?
Correct. I think we have to do two things here, all right? We'll have to remove that, but whatever we do, we have to do it slowly. We cannot have a shock treatment, okay? We cannot have a shock treatment because the economy, the people... See, because it's not the B40s are getting the subsidies. The M40s are getting the subsidies. The T20s are getting subsidies. You can see the 220 don't depend on the subsidies. But the M40 are getting subsidies because the cooking oil, the flour, and whatever else is just going through, right? And yeah, just to correct it, sugar, there's no subsidy. Sugar, there's a price control.
Okay.
Price control, pardon okay? me. But others, they have subsidy. So I think we have to do two things here. Number one, we have to remove this. Number two, we actually need to increase people's income. That's the end game, right? We have to increase people's income. That means what they need to do? They need to increase salaries, which is a real blackout for everybody out there, right? Because people say, all of my expenses are going to go up. But you see, we have one of the lowest wages in the world. You know, we are paying 1,500 minimum wage, right? Our economic minister has been talking about progressive wage model. The details will come out. They're having this stakeholders and whatever. But I'm very sure it will come out. And we really got to move this. We might have to bulldoze this. The government might have to bulldoze this through the private sector. Because as usual, I mean, I employ 6,000 people and you say, naik gaji, jangan.
Yeah, but MEF, Malaysian Employees Federation, is going gung-ho on going militant now. It's like, no way, no how. Like, X amount of businesses will go out of business and so on and so on.
They are the people, seriously, who is creating the issue because they are the one who wants low-wage model because they are the one who wants to do this. All right? These are the multinationals. All right. So what we need to do is we need to balance it.
They meaning MEF,
right? Because they're all multinational, right? Their job is to what? To make money from a country, milk a country. If they can't milk it, they move to the next country, to Vietnam, to Thailand, or whatever. We will have to look what is best for our country. Okay. And the way to do this seriously is number one, a progressive wage model. The minimum wage has to go up progressively. Then you have the productivity element there, so you can pay people more. Numbers need to be sorted out. And it has to be done progressively. That means, the worst is the government loves to shock us lah. December 25th, they say, daripada January, gaji akan menaik daripada 1,500 ke 2,000. We get a heart attack, right? Tell us now, this is July. In January, please increase wages, minimum wage, by 100 ringgit. Then we adjust.
Normally, they do this in the budget. There's a budget coming up very soon, 3 months, 2 months from now. Maybe do you expect something like that in the budget?
I think we should. We should say it loud and clear that we are going to do this 100 ringgit in January, another 100 ringgit in June, another 100 ringgit in December. So we all know where we're heading to. This is your basic wage.
Wouldn't that increase your business cost overhead considerably, considering that you have 6,000 people, many of them on minimum wage? So 1,005 times, 5,000 people, and then 1,006 times 5,000 people. It's going to hit your bottom line, no?
You know what? That's very subjective. I pay out extra $2 million a month. That money goes to 25 million people that are working out. Or they come and spend back in my den. My business goes up. I make more money. I pay them back. It's a cycle.
Nothing's stopping you from doing this now. Why don't you just increase your... You have the control within your company.
Correct. Within my company, I have a control, right? But I have to be competitive in the market. If I increase my wage from 1.5 to 2,000, my wage cost goes up, my total overhead goes up, I cannot compete with harga ayam with my next competitor because his wage is 1.5. That's why it has to be top-driven sometimes. It has to be top-driven because then everybody's wages have to go up. Then I become competitive. It's not so easy, you know. I would love to give my people from 1.5 to 2,000, but my competitor is giving 1.5. Right? So his wage cost is 6% of total revenue. Mine will become 9. Then I will not be competitive. I will start losing millions of dollars very fast. So it's not as simple as it looks, but I think it has to be everywhere. The minimum wage everywhere, put in the progressive model, the productivity side of it, to be fair. Take out, you see, the government do something sometimes. They're going to put that 4,000 ringgit overtime or that. Mm. That thing, tak payah lah. You know why? Because those people are already at 4,000. You know, you don't have to give them OT. You know, the real people who need the money is the 1.5, the 2,000, the 2.5. But they're going to put it, they're going to give paternity leave. You know, all these are additional costs. We don't need that. We don't need that. What we need is wage. Don't mess up with so many other, because all the other things is nice to have.
But the core issue is still the wage.
The core is the wage. But when from the employee perspective, you say, give them extra 2 days there, I would like to declare a public holiday today. Because
yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Whatever reason. Tomorrow somebody wins another state election, they have another public holiday coming. You know? That costs money. The last public holiday cost the industry $1.5 billion that day of productivity. This is where money just goes out. We should be very strict with public holidays. Why?
I think I saw somewhere Malaysia has one of the most
correct.
Public holiday.
Correct. So this is what we have to get it right. This is popular things, you know. I mean, the government, if it's a strong government, should need to get out of this popularity kind of thing. You see, when the government is awake.
I don't know. I mean, like, on behalf of all the politicians in this world, you have to be popular.
Correct. But if you want to do the right thing, do the right thing. As a parent, do you have to be popular with your children? No.
Right? I don't have elections with my kids every 4 years.
Correct. They don't have a choice, right?
They don't have a choice.
Right. But here, what you have is
you're asking the politicians to do the right thing, Dato. It's not easy.
What I say is like this.
Unless the popularity wants the politician to do the right thing, then they do the right thing. Undi 18, for instance.
You know, that's the same thing. As a parent, you are strict with your children. The children only realize it when they grow up.
Yeah.
My parents did the right thing and I was wrong.
Yeah.
I think we've got to do this. Politicians have to make decisions for their country, not for themselves. Yes, everybody wants to be popular. I would love to have my children say, thank you, daddy, thank you, mommy, whatever. But unfortunately, we have to use the cane when we need to, right? So the politicians are there. They must be there for the better of the country, not for their own popularity. Unfortunately, the real world differs. But this is what we need to do. Be unpopular for 3 years, you got 2 more years for election, then you become popular lah.
If the consumers go to the supermarket and they see the price increasing, even though your data says no, my data says yes. How do you see this discrepancy? I'm trying to circle back to the whole purpose of the whole genesis of this conversation. Where do we start in terms of managing that perception of real prices going down versus the perception of prices going up?
I think we have to look at the reality. I am not saying prices are going down. I'm not saying prices are not going up. I mean, let me correct
you. Yeah.
I'm just saying that the last 3 months, data shows it has not gone up the way people are talking.
The
way you are talking about it. So it's all perception. I mean, I was on one radio show and somebody mentioned, one fellow came online and said, you know what? I went to a store 200 and now I'm paying exactly the same item, 250. I can't dispute what he's saying. All right? But my lean data is there because we take 500 items. Okay? In your basket could be some items that are really not to us, assess in terms of the popular one. You could be buying some premium diapers, you know, that guy suddenly increased the price by 20-30%, right? And he will have good reason to do it, and they could have brought your basket up, you see? But when you look at the basic item, it's not happening. So I think it's important for us to get the perception right. I have always been honest. Beras tak ada. I have been screaming out there, there's no beras. When there was no egg, I've been screaming out there to the government, there's not enough eggs, you know? when the price of chicken go down, it's only fair I also scream the price of chicken has gone down.
Let's talk about supply per se. Do you feel that Malaysian entrepreneurs need to focus on agro-business right now?
Unfortunately not. People are not doing it.
And why? Why do you think that's not?
They.
I'm sure you would love to buy from local suppliers about anything.
You know, unfortunately, what we need to do here, there's certain things we are not going to be competitive in. Let's accept the fact. Let's accept the fact some things you can do and some things you can't do. We just have to look at the food security. What is, in case of war or something happens, we can't be dependent.
Yeah, look at the basic, SSR lah.
The basic beras lah, beras, gula, tepung, something like that. Okay? And look at some countries' model. Like India, for example, massive wheat importer many, many years ago. Now a massive wheat exporter. But, my God, they got $1.5 billion to feed, 1.5 billion people to feed.
Yeah.
How did they do it? So there's some things that we can do. Do we have the right soil for it? And you know what? We cannot be saying, peladang-peladang kecil, it doesn't work. It's an industry. You really got to go big. You got to really have the Sime Darbys or whoever the big GLCs are. Go for the big plantation and figure out how to manage the small holdings in terms of, you got to manage this. I'm not saying they're not important to the country. I'm not trying to take their livelihood, you know, but for the sake of the country, okay, you cannot have fishermen going in the small sampan and getting the Koreans and the Taiwanese and the Vietnamese are coming with massive and they are at our
doorstep,
right, and taking the fish and selling back to us. Let's look at what we can do and what we cannot do. If we can do only timun, let's focus on the timun, and you got to buy the cauliflower. You got to buy the broccoli. Then you buy. You know, cabbage is so expensive from Cameron.
You fall back to the whole bartering system, I mean, of 10,000 years ago. Like, we have this. It's okay.
Fine.
Then we buy use this for that.
I mean, cabbage is cheaper from China. You buy from China. Your cabbage is expensive. You are not going to be cheap. You cannot going to be competitive. So why you make us suffer by having expensive cabbage? You let us import. Our onions are imported. Our potatoes, you know, everything we import. Yeah. At the moment, almost everything. Yeah. Food is import. Okay? So we should export what we are good at and try to balance it. Right. And just have a minimal food security where you say, you know, this is my red line. Kalau tak ada beras,
habis. Game over.
So figure out how to do the beras part.
Yeah.
Yeah, figure that out. Which actually we can do. If we put enough money in MADA and get the agriculture system sorted out.
All right. Datuk, final comment? Datuk, very short one.
I think it's very important here that for food, let's be very clear. In any world, wherever it is, prices go up. And prices will go up. Important is how high they go. That's one. Number two, we really have to get to the wage model. So people's salary, income goes up, price increases. Okay? People say, alah, gaji naik, barang naik harga. It's okay.
Yeah.
Let's earn the 3,000 and be able to buy the same basket at 3,000.
Yeah,
at least,
exactly.
At least comparatively with other countries.
I grew up in Sydney. Minimum wage is $25 per hour. Right. So, prices are not like super, right, you know, inflationary.
So that is the way to do it. And we got to push this. Yeah. We got to push it, push to the industry. And, you know, myself from the Pemuda side, we're also trying very hard to convince the private sector that we have to move this way.
That was Datuk Wira Dr. Amir Ali Mahidin, the chairman of the Special Task Force to Facilitate Business, or Pemudah. If you want to learn more, just head on to astroalan.com and find out more information there. My name is Ibrahim Sandi. Catch you in the next one.